If you would, open in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture tonight, Romans 4 and James chapter 2. So we'll read Romans 4 first, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. I'll turn back to the letter of James, chapter 2. We'll look at verses 21 through 24. James 2, 21 through 24. Let's start at verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and that by works faith was made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone. Listen to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Our Lord and our God, we pray you would give us insight this evening. Help us think clearly about the truths that you present to us in your word, and help us to have a ready answer when questioned about the truth of your word. We ask you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just read two passages of Scripture to you that perhaps at some point in your Christian walk, and maybe even now, cause a little bit of confusion. Paul just told us that a man is accounted righteous through faith, and it would be a faith alone, faith by grace, no works at all, or else God would owe him something. And so the doctrine we see very clearly presented in Romans by Paul is a justification by faith alone, being counted righteous in God's sight by faith alone. But then when you turn to James and you read what James has to say, you read very clearly what James says is that man is not justified by faith alone. He's justified by works. Uh-oh. What do we do with this? How do we make sense of what is being said here? Many sincere believers have a crisis of faith whenever they read these two passages together. How do they make these reconcile? As a matter of fact, Martin Luther, shortly after his coming to a reformed perspective on the Scriptures, coming to the reformed principle of justification by faith alone, went on to read James and was startled. He said, James is just an epistle of straw. As a matter of fact, Luther said Jimmy should be thrown into the fire. And yes, he actually did say Jimmy. Throw Jimmy into the fire. Because it's not consistent with the gospel. James is teaching something contrary to Paul, so throw it out. It should not be taught. So what do we do with that? How do we reconcile these two ideas? And remember, we start with the presupposition that there is no contradiction in God whatsoever, right? There is no turning shadow or variation in the Lord God. And if we believe that God has no contradiction in and of himself, and God is the author of Scripture, then there must not be, and there cannot be contradiction in the Word of God. And so we start with that presupposition. And what I want to do this evening is give you four keys or four ways of looking at these two passages to reconcile what is being presented to us in the Word of God regarding justification. Is it by faith alone or is it by faith and works? Well, four keys to reconciling this apparent contradiction. And the first one is that Paul and James apply the word justify to two different events. They're looking and thinking about two different events when they use the word justify. Paul uses the word justify in Romans 4, 1 through 5, as we saw. And when he does so, he's referring to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, which was read earlier for us this evening. And you'll remember what was happening in that passage. God brought Abraham out to look at the stars, and he made a promise to Abraham that your descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And what do the scriptures say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So that's the event that Paul is referring to. Yet when James uses the word justify in relationship to Abraham in James 2, 21 through and 22 and verse 24, he's referring to a different event. He's referring to Genesis 22, verses 9 through 12. And what was going on there? That was God's call to Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. And so Paul and James are thinking of two entirely different events when they're thinking about the term justify. And so even though on the surface it seems like Paul and James are using the same word in the same way, creating a contradiction, the text to which they apply the word helps to relieve this tension because it shows us that the word justify does not have just one meaning, but it has a range of meaning. And understanding this range of meaning to the word justify is the second key to understanding these passages. There is a range of meaning to the word justify. Paul and James use the word to justify in two different ways, in two different senses, which happen to be established usages. It's understood that there are two different definitions for this word. And the word is dikaio, and I'll spell it for you so you can write it down. It's D-I-K-A-I-O-O. That would be our transliteration of the word justify from the Greek, dikaio. And it can mean either to declare or pronounce someone righteous, or it could mean to show or exhibit evidence or display someone's righteousness. So you see the difference. One is simply a declaration that someone is righteous, and the other is a demonstration of righteousness. So very two different meanings here being used. And when Paul uses the term justify, he uses it in the first sense of the word, as a judge would acquit somebody. A judge declares someone righteous. That's what Paul means. That's how Paul uses the word. Whereas when James uses the term justify in the second sense, he uses it to prove someone to be righteous. James uses it as a demonstration of righteousness. Abraham demonstrated his righteousness by obedience to the Lord. And so recognizing that the word justify has a range of meaning and that Paul and James use two different meanings of the word removes that contradiction. So they're using two different scenarios and they're using two different meanings of the word. Third key to understanding these passages is to see that Paul and James use the term faith differently. So not only do they use the word justify differently, they use the word faith differently. When Paul uses the term, he's referring to a sincere, persevering belief, a belief that genuinely is resting upon a promise. Paul is referring to saving faith. But if you turn and look at what James is talking about, you very quickly get the idea that James is talking about a, a, a sense of knowledge or a sentiment when he talks about faith. Just intellectual knowledge, because he says that even the demons believe. So could James be talking about saving faith if the demons are believing? Of course not. The demons are not saved. When James uses the term faith, he's simply talking about an intellectual assent to truth. That when Paul uses the term faith, he's talking about saving faith. And so when Paul is talking about faith that makes you righteous, it's a saving faith. When James talks about faith without works is dead, it's just intellectual knowledge. There are two different types of faith that's being talked about here. That's the third key we need to understand when reconciling these passages. And the fourth key to understanding these passages is to recognize that Paul and James are discussing two different matters altogether. They're discussing two different matters altogether. Paul is discussing how one becomes right with God. How is someone saved? And James is talking about how you know if someone is right with God. How you know whether someone is saved or not. So Paul's talking about how you get saved. James is talking about how you know if someone is saved. You see, they're two different matters all completely. Two different ways of looking at the situation. It's this reason that both Paul and James refer to the life of Abraham. Paul points to Abraham to show how he was reckoned righteous by faith in Genesis 15. How was Abraham saved? This is how it happened. But then James turns to Abraham as well to show that Abraham proved, he evidenced that he was reckoned righteous by faith through his works, through his obedience. Because at the end of the day, neither Paul nor James denies justification by faith alone. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask both of them, how is one reckoned righteous before God? They would give you the same exact answer. As a matter of fact, go to Paul. Ask him, Paul, how is one reckoned righteous before God? Well, what does he say? Romans 4:3. What do the scriptures say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay, great, Paul. James, how is a man reckoned righteous before God? Well, James 2:23. The scriptures were fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see, they both affirm justification by faith alone. And when we think about how they view the situation differently, they're talking about two different matters. They use the different terms or different ideas of faith. They use two different definitions of the word justify, and they look at two different aspects of Abraham's life. We can see that we can save Jimmy from the fire here. There's no contradiction in the Word of God, because there's no contradiction in God Himself. But what the Scriptures present to us is a full-orbed picture of the Christian life. The Christian life is not one that is where we believe and we have to work to get our salvation. Nor is the Christian life simple intellectual assent to truth without obedience of life. But no, the Christian faith, the Christian life, is one in which we are saved by faith alone and then live by faith that is not alone. That is what is presented to us in the Word of God. And we must be full-orbed Christians, not trying to earn our relationship with the Lord, not trying to maintain our relationship with the Lord through works, because we're justified by faith. But at the same time, we must do those things that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, those works that evidence that we've been saved by grace through faith. There's no contradiction in the Word of God, because again, there's no contradiction in God Himself. But you are saved by faith alone, but you live by faith that is not alone. So I hope this was helpful to you as you consider these two passages of Scripture and you reconcile them in your own mind. And as perhaps you go to other people and help them understand the Word of God, you can use these four keys to bring them to a further understanding of the truth of God's Word and salvation. Let's pray.